themselves with their own property. and give charity with their own property. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which indicate that the Supreme Lord accepts the Brahmins as worshipable gods. The Supreme Lord is worshipped by everyone, yet to teach others he worships the Brahmins. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmins, for their only business is to spread Shabda Brahman, or Vedic knowledge, all over the world. Whenever there is a scarcity of Brahmanas to spread Vedic knowledge, chaos throughout human society results. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not depend on others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas, and out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas or kings, and the Vaishyas or merchants. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas, but the Kshatriya government and mercantile people keep everything in custody, like bankers, and whenever the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should supply it. It is like a savings account with money, which the depositor can draw out at his will. The Brahmanas, being engaged in the service of the Lord, have very little time to handle the finances of the world, and therefore the riches are kept for the Kshatriyas or the king, who are to produce money upon the Brahmanas' demand. Actually, the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas do not live at others' cost. They live by spending their own money, although it appears that they are collecting this money from others. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have no right to give charity, for whatever they possess belongs to the Brahmanas. Therefore, charity should be given by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas under the instructions of the Brahmanas. Unfortunately, at the present moment, there is a scarcity of Brahmanas, and since the so-called Kshatriyas and Vaishyas do not carry out the orders of the Brahmanas, the world is in a chaotic condition. The second line of this verse indicates that the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat only by the virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. In other words, they should not eat anything which is forbidden by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas know what to eat, and by their personal example, they do not eat anything which is not offered first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They eat only prasad, or remnants of the food offered to the Lord. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras should eat only Krishna prasad, which is afforded them by the mercy of the Brahmanas. They cannot open slaughterhouses and eat meat, fish, or eggs, or drink liquor, or earn money for this purpose without authorization. In the present age, because society is not guided by Brahminical instructions, the whole population has only absorbed its sinful activities. Consequently, everyone is deservedly being punished by the laws of nature. This is the situation in the age of Kali. So, four Kumaras now finished their instructions to Preacher Maharaj. And then, having heard these instructions, Preacher Maharaj wants to reciprocate by giving something, doing some worship. But he's pointing out that actually there's nothing to give, because it all belongs to the Kumaras anyway. Because the world belongs to Krishna. And this world is meant to serve Krishna. That's the whole point. It's not something separate. It's only connected to the Lord. So then the difficulty comes up is that whoever has anything, that's their quota. They've been given to use in the Lord's service. But they can't claim that it's separate from the Lord. Therefore, because the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are connected or serving the Lord, then everything that's there in the world actually belongs to them. But, as pointed out, the Brahmins, Vaishnavas, their main point is not money, finances. The main point is cultivation of Krishna consciousness, distribution of Krishna consciousness. That being the primary element, of course, there is some activities that are necessary to document these kind of exchanges, but it's not the main focus. Therefore, those who are willing to allow this to be their main focus because of their interest in control and in money, then they are given charge of it. So the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are given charge of this money. And because this is their responsibility, their duty that they're doing, therefore the Brahmins, out of humility, deal with them as if it's theirs. Right. So we see that Vedic culture always brings about a perfect balance. It always has a perfect balance. What non-Vedic always has difficulties is that the balance is never perfect, always one way or the other. Right? So here we see, in dealing with facilities, with dealing with money, the balance is there. It doesn't belong to you, but it's your quota. And being your quota, you're responsible to see that it's used properly. So therefore, it's not yours, but you take care of it properly. But it does belong to someone else. So just as someone's running, you have a bank, so you have who the bank belongs to. But then you have the person dealing with the money. So the person dealing with the money knows it's not theirs, but they deal with it very properly. Because that's what they do all day. The person who owns the bank, then the money is theirs. But they don't just come and just take as they like from wherever they like. No, they go through the methods that are set up. Right? So the money is required, then it's done with those who deal with it. So this is the system, there's a balance. Because otherwise you go, oh, it's all ours, so we just take whatever. No, it's all Krishna's. The Brahmins, Vaishnavas represent Krishna, therefore it belongs, it's in this way it is theirs. Right? But it's still in the control of these others who have been given as their occupational duty to serve the Lord. So that balance then, you know, makes everything work properly. That's what's missed in the modern, and which is there or understood in the Vedic. Vedic is always balanced because the universe is in harmony because of its following the laws of God. You don't follow the laws, that's when it's out of harmony. So the Vedic culture is always in harmony with the Lord. Difficulty is it's appreciating how that harmony works. So, then continuing this, then it says the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, as continuing from before instructions, they're performing their activities under the direction of the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, as the study of the Shastras, the teaching of the Shastras, is their main duty. So, as they instruct, that is how one lives. Right? This is what in the Vedic is called tradition. Tradition means how the great sages, how they have understood the instructions of the Lord and how they practice it themselves and how they instruct it to others. Like here, the four Kumaras are instructing. So what they're giving, this is called tradition. Right? What they're basing it on, that's the Shruti, that's the Veda. So the basis for what they're speaking is the Veda. But how they're applying it to Preeti Maharaj's situation, that's tradition. So these always have to be considered. It's not perfect. If they just have Veda and no Brahmins, it's not perfect because it's not applied. If you only have Brahmins, no Veda, it's also not perfect. Where's the foundation? So again, you see the balance. So here then, they're being described how to live, what is the lifestyle of the person. Right? So Prabhupada's book. So what they eat, what they wear, how they behave, right? How they deal with their own property, all that is to be defined by the Brahmins, who are then basing this on the direction of the Lord. So then in this way, it's by the mercy of the Brahmins that the other Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras are able to maintain themselves, sustain themselves. Because otherwise, if they didn't follow the direction given by the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, then their lifestyle is not going to be prosperous. Because it can only be prosperous if you follow God's laws. Right? Prosperity. Some may say, no, but there's so many sinful people in the world and they're prosperous. No, they're not prosperous from their sin. They're prosperous from previous pious activities. That's all. And for their sin today, then tomorrow they'll have problems. Right? Today's facility is from yesterday's work. Tomorrow's facility is from today's. But we'll think, no, he worked today, he gets today. No, it doesn't work. What you did yesterday is today. Today is tomorrow. So, therefore, they're able to maintain their position by the grace of the Brahmins because they get the proper direction. And from this proper direction, then they're able to live in such a way that they are taken care of by the Lord rather than punished by the laws of nature. So it's unfortunate in this age there's more of a prominence of those who are not interested in following the Vedic culture. One has to understand there's always been that class of man. Always. Right? Means it's there. From the very beginning. It's always there. Right? Madhu and Kaitava. Right in the beginning. Brahma hasn't even created yet. And Madhu Kaitava demons come and steal the Vedas. Right? So already the demonic mentality is there. So it's not that, oh, it's only in Kalpa. No, it's always there. It's just previous ages there's less people. And this now there's more. So this direction by Guru Sadhu and Shastra is extremely important. Without it, then there is no prosperity. Any questions? No, yes. Oh, here. I thought they used a little thing on the bottom, very bottom.
You were saying in previous ages there are less people, now there is more?
No, no, less people that are not interested in following the Vedas. And now there's more people not interested in following the Vedas. By proportion. There's less people now, but the greater proportion of them is not interested.
Maharaj, yesterday somebody told me that they were in Loi Bazaar in Vrindavan and some important devotee came into the area and the shopkeeper said to the devotee, Sadhu? And the devotee said, Maharaj! And then the shopkeeper still said, but Sadhu? and so the devotee said, what do you mean? And the shopkeeper said, well, we've seen many Maharajas, but they have so many things, so we want to see if they're really Sadhu. So it seems they don't, either they don't understand the principle of Yukta Vairagya, or they haven't seen us applying it very well. So,
yes.
Could you make a comment about this?
The balance. The point is you're always going to get, because if one is thinking one's the body, then that means activities of the body are what generate the results that are then the facilities for the body. So the body performs obvious activities of piety, that's, you're getting the pious result. They perform activities of impiety, you get the impious result. What's missed out here is that the gross body only does what the subtle body directs it to. Right? And the subtle body is only functioning because of the consciousness. So this is where the element of understanding Yukta Vairagya is very difficult. Because Yukta Vairagya means, it's two words, Yukta and Vairagya. Yukta means it's connected to the Lord. And Vairagya means the result of that connection is not for yourself, it's for the Lord. Because you can connect something to the Lord, but you're still getting a benefit from it. So, but Vairagya means you're not getting the benefit. It's for the Lord's service. Now, again, it means, like the voice, like the point is being given here, is that that subtlety of what it means not for your benefit, means it's for the service. So they can say, no, but he has that facility. And he is getting the benefit from it. No. the opportunity to render service, that is made very easier, smooth by that facility. Like we see the kings, before taking up the throne, they're living in the gurukul with nothing. And we see in every example when the king goes to the forest, he doesn't take anything with him. He leaves everything and goes to the forest. Not only, not clothes you can take from the kingdom, but clothes taken from the forest. Right? So this principle is there. The service, is that's what they have so much. Someone may complain, why does the king need some? No, because he's doing that kind of service. You need that facility. But as soon as he's not doing it, he doesn't require it. So if the facility, if the activity is there, so many things are required. If it's not there, it's not required. So the ability to understand the actual meaning of Yukta Vairagya, because Yukta Vairagya, it's poetic, even by Rupa Goswami. So being poetic, it rolls off the tongue very easily. So even why the shopkeepers, the devotees also don't necessarily use it or know what it means. It simply means anything I feel like using in the Lord's service, whether I'm actually using it with Vairagya or Yukta, that combination, is not clear. You know, it's just, Yukta Vairagya, why are we open Yukta Vairagya? But the thing is fine, but where's the Yukta and where's the Vairagya? If you can define it, then you know, yes, it's solidly connected. But if you can't define it, then there may be some weakness. And then that's the point, either in the Yukta Vairagya, where there's anartha, there's something that's getting in the way of that actually being real Yukta Vairagya. So, but that's also the process of devotional service, is whatever is the nature, take that, engage it in the Lord's service. The difficulty is because we identify with our conditioned nature. Therefore, we become disturbed by someone else's. Because otherwise, souls don't disturb other souls. There's no one in the spiritual world that disturbs each other. Right? That means, of course, Kotila and Jatila, they're another category. But other than them, then. So if we can take it by majority, there's no problem. So the difficult, the shopkeeper wants facility, and he's working very hard for that facility. He says someone else with facility, right? Unless he's done it how he's done it in such a great, immense way, and somehow or another he has within his heart the ability to respect authority, which also in this stage is also lacking. Then he might think, but he's like him, but bigger. He's like what he would like to be. Then he'll respect him. Because, when you become like that, you respect yourself. So someone else who's in that position, you respect. So the problem is that they can't see that these things are engaged. But now, it doesn't mean that being engaged, that there's not also an artist. Right? Because fault fighting is also an anartha. Right? Because the point is even if someone claims to be a Brahmin, but he's not, and you've given charity to him, you get double the benefit of having given charity to an ordinary man, just because he said he was. Right? Because in the Vedic system, even you follow something because this is the way it's supposed to be, even though it's not. People may accept this or not. But you serve a devotee who is in a position of authority or seniority. Even though he's not qualified for it, you still get the benefit because you're following the rule. They may not get the benefit by accepting it, but you get the benefit by offering. Of course, now if you offer it to someone who's actually qualified, then you start to get, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of times return. But in any case, it's always better than just ordinary people.
So there's something to the old, usually it's a derogatory expression, he's a good German. In other words, he was just following
the He was following order, yes. Means on that level, they accept authority. Now, of course, you're supposed to use your discrimination to accept proper authority. And I think that's where the discrimination is there. You're not obliged like that. But, So the point is you're going to end up in trouble anyway. So it's just a matter of did you end up in trouble because of your dignity or due to your because or their indignity. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So that aspect is there. At the same time is that the shopkeeper discriminates how much of a sadhu. That would also define how much he may offer respect or offer charity, because that also is stated by the Veda, is that according to the person's position, their advancement, you know, whatever the qualification, their knowledge, their practices, their austerity, sacrifice, then charity is given, right? What they've done, right? You know, like if they come, just walk by and you give them something, that would be less than, let's say, they come to your house. That which would be less than if they came to your house or something and performed a function. Right? So, in other words, whatever is being done in their position, then you judge. Like that. So if someone is very nicely situated as a sadhu, you would be inclined to give more, you get more benefit. And if they're less, then, you know, you adjust. So the point is that discrimination is there, but it's not also this, they're either sadhu or not. There's degrees of sadhu. Because the point is ultimately being in the material world means from the first point you're not a sadhu. Right? You know, the sadhus didn't come here. Right? So you take up the path of following in the footsteps of the sadhus, right? Or the suras. That then rightly situates. So then you're non-different from them. Like iron and fire. So one's position as sadhu is because of those before. The Narottam Das Thakur is mentioning about Rupa Goswami, that he's saying is that mercy of him falling on us, then it's reflected back. You know, just like we don't, the mirror doesn't create light, but it reflects light that's there efficiently, very, very, like how much light is coming as it's reflecting back. So how much mercy we're getting, that's how much we can apply and give and spread. But it's not our mercy, it's actually the mercy of the other. So same thing in line with here. It's not actually the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, it's actually the Brahmins. And it's not actually the Brahmins, it's the Lords. Right? But the whole point is human beings means pastime. I mean, it's the whole point of anything is to interact. The mistake is made, no, it's to create facilities for interacting. Right? Modern man is very good at creating facilities for interacting, but never actually getting the opportunity. Or if he gets the opportunity, he doesn't know what to do with it. And if he thinks he knows what to do with it, generally he blows it.
In this case, the shopper, he said, I know who a real sadhu is because he doesn't have anything.
Yes, but the point is he doesn't know what he doesn't have anything looks like.
Right.
But he's thinking doesn't have anything means if I look with my senses, I can't see anything. But actually it means nothing is his. So Kinchana Gochara means if you need facility, you have so much, but it's not yours, it's Krishna. And if you don't need the facility, you don't have anything. So they can only tell if you have nothing. But the point is you know, the Babaji is sitting there at Vrindavan, he needs very little, right? He doesn't need to impress anybody. Means the guy that's sitting down there, he's got his little old Bhagavan Bandhi like that. It looks dirty as anything. And, you know, he's got some other blankets and that wrapped around his head and all that. I mean, he's warm enough, so he gets through. But he needs that because if we said nothing, why isn't he out there just in his coconuts? I mean, I've seen him in the dock, guys walking around naked, you know. But in the summertime, of course. I didn't see them in the winter. You know. But there are those who walk around naked in the winter also. You know, so the point is he has that much. So how do you define how much? Now, could he walk into some, you know, aristocratic man's office or someone who thought he is and be taken seriously to engage him in Krishna consciousness? There's every chance no. Because even you see in Vrindavan, the ones who are preaching and are successful, you know, putting aside what is their philosophy, but they're able to present themselves to that particular audience in such a way that is appreciated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this will be the weakness in the shopkeeper's vision. Though his definition is correct, but there's every chance that his understanding of his own definition is not. He doesn't actually understand what having nothing is.
So in our own application of Yukta Vairagya, is it fair to say our utility being the principle can only be, that can only be valid as far as our purity is concerned?
Yes, it'll only be, because that's what it says, purity is the force. So the purity means that that force, that dynamism of it, will be because of the purity. But the point must be seen. We always have to remember, though it is correct, and we'll say, let's take for example, the person's not as sadhu as one would hope. Okay? But if his determination is that being, that pure devotional service is the goal, pure devotional service is what pleases Krishna, and the process is through this process, the process given by Srila Prabhupada, he is a sadhu, no matter what his mentality is. That's what Krishna says. Because the point is being nice in the material world, Krishna couldn't give a damn about it. Krishna really just doesn't. It's whether you have devotion or not that attracts Krishna. If you're nice, then Maya will take care of you nicely. You're not nice, Maya won't take care of you nicely. Of course, it's sanctioned by Krishna. Paramatma is there. But the point is Paramatma is a fragmental portion of Krishna's manifestation. Right? He has to just be able to understand everything in the universe, understand how the unlimited network of desires is connected, and how this soul fits into it. Therefore, does he deserve to get what he wants or not? That's all he has to manifest. So, therefore, being good or bad is not what attracts Krishna. Maybe Santa, but not Krishna. Right? So this mistake also the devotees will make, because we have to remember that shopkeeper is a devotee. Right? And they're in another category. He can think like that all he likes. We won't criticize him. But if somebody who's a sampradayic devotee thinks in this way, and he's missed the point, then there's a point for us to make comment. But on the Vrajavasis, they're in another category. Just don't even worry about that. So, the point is that they're determined, but the thing is pure devotional service is what it is. And anything less than that is not pure devotional service. So if there's an attachment to anything, be it pious or impious, it doesn't matter, it's still not pure devotional service. So it still doesn't have a right to make a comment, technically. It means you can discuss the position of pure and mixed devotional service. But technically, to point a finger, unless one is on the platform of pure devotional service, one doesn't have the right. Unfortunately, those on the platform generally don't take the right, and those who are not on the platform, then they're most enthusiastic to take the right. Like that. Does that make sense? So the balance is very, very important. Right? In other words, I'm looking at somebody and I feel that they're over-utilizing facilities. Or over-facility. Right? But the point is I don't actually know their mentality.
You said the mentality is not important. What did you mean by that?
Mentality. Means the mentality is not important if we're talking about mundane. You know? And also, or here, mentality is not important, meaning what they're distracted by. What's important is the consciousness. Here we're analyzing it into, we said, the growth, the consciousness, the subtle body, the gross body. So we see the gross, so the consciousness is correct, but by previous association, the mentality may not be ideal, but they're still sadhu. But if the consciousness is not right, then they're not sadhu. Even if they're very pious.
So consciousness, we can say motivation.
Yeah, motivation means motivation, but also we have to be careful of motivation, because who ultimately is it for? Who ultimately is your life for? If it's for Krishna, you're rightly situated. It doesn't mean that you're utilizing your right situation correctly. You know what I'm saying? That's the importance of, that's why it said analyzation of the Shastra is so important, right? The chronological study is there because that gives you all the information in its natural unfolding, definition, you know, how it has been unfolded in the past to qualify students. But an analyzation means is that, because in unfolding, you're unfolding it in layers. So that means the same topic has been presented many, many times. So analyzations means seeing all those levels at once, because there is no beginning level. That's the difference. In the West, there's an idea, there's a beginning level. Then there's higher, 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 higher. The Vedic is no. There's only the top level. Then there's aspects of it that are simple enough that someone on the beginning level can understand. Does that understand?
Yeah, so...
It, so it brings out a very different mentality.
Yeah, so it seems very subtle to determine consciousness.
It's very subtle. That's why one should... dealing with it, the best is to deal with yourself. Because if you can do that, because the point is one soul to the next is not different. Their conditioning is different, but the nature of the soul is not. So if you can figure it out for yourself in your position, then you can also help someone else figure it out in theirs. Right? You know, in other words, someone who can drive can give some valid and has been in that difficult situation can give some valid direction for another driver who may be having some difficulty. But a backseat driver has never been known to be of any benefit to anybody, right? You know, like that. Except for to the hearing aid companies, like that. You know, they get a lot of benefit from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it starts with the self. We always want to start it with someone else because the idea is that we'll just follow progression here, right? I am in this situation, but what everybody else influences me. Therefore, I can't be Krishna conscious to my ideal because everybody else is not to my ideal. But then, in this, because now it'll sound like I'm in control, because I'm pointing out what everybody should do, how they can make it all perfect for me, of course. But what's missed out is that means I'm dependent. So I've actually, in my pride, put myself in the junior position or the dependent position. And therefore, my Krishna consciousness is based on everybody else's. So they're not independent. So who's not independent? That's a Shudra. So that's a Shudra mentality, the thing. Only when everybody else, then I can do it. Because the Vaishya doesn't think, when everybody else does business nicely, then I can. No, he goes out and does business. The Kshatriya doesn't think, when all the politics are going smoothly, then I can manage them. No, he doesn't think. Neither does a Brahmin think, I can study and practice the Shastra dependent upon others. So only the Shudra thinks, only when everybody else is good will I be good.
So therefore, I love this line from Prabhupada. I think you've just given me a new understanding. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative.
Yes. That's the point. It's the same thing. This is also something very important. It's the definition of the words. How they're mental speculation, if it's done not in connection with the Lord, is defined like that. If it's done in connection with the Lord, it's called contemplation. It's the exact same thing. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a few words like that. Sense gratification. If it's for yourself, engaging the senses and the sense objects for yourself, it's called sense gratification. Engaging the senses and the sense object for the Lord's satisfaction, that's called devotional service. So devotees also, like the shopkeeper, because the shopkeeper is a devotee, will make this mistake that it's simply the external. What I can see with the senses defines what's going on in the consciousness. No, it's three levels that are intimately connected, but at the same time, we have to be able to analyze them differently. That's why the Gita is done in that way. It means when you practice Buddha Yoga, you don't separate karma, jnana, and yoga, and jnana, because you're supposed to perform your activity, right, in knowledge, thinking of Krishna, right, with devotion. So that means these other three, which is Buddha Yoga, that is engaged in Lord Shiva's sort of bhakti yoga. But Prabhupada mentioned the purport, but you have to study them separately to understand the parts. Having understood it, then you know, just like the steering wheel, you have to understand what exactly it does and how you know, like that. But that doesn't mean it's separate from the process of driving the car. So that's where we make a mistake, is that it's all together, we make no discrimination, or we discriminate and don't put it together. So that's why it's called less intelligent, because intelligent means ability to discriminate, ability to show the commonality. So that balance of being able to see what's common, though at the same time understanding the differences, that's the balance.
Thank you for this threadbare discussion.
So, often we are compelled to act according to our nature. And after already engagement in that nature, we find, oh, I've done the wrong thing.
Right.
I've now heard from the sadhu or brahmana in this case. What then is the course of action?
What's the course of action when one's done something wrong? There's means, first of all, also make it put it, continue from the thread what he was giving. How the common vision will be and what's the standard. The common vision will be you've done something wrong, so there's an action that will correct that wrongness. But what's done is done. You know, you burnt the sabji, it's burnt. It's not that now I can do something else to it, right? No. The point is next time you cook, don't burn it. That's the standard. So the Vedic standard is when you understand what you've done wrong, you contemplate that, see it, be convinced, then make the determination, I won't do that again. Right? So the first step is understanding what was wrong. The second step is being determined not to do it. Right? But it doesn't mean that immediately you'll be able to not do it again. But there's a difference now. Before you were doing it in ignorance, by habit, you know, by previous association and practice. But now you know. So by practicing that, it will be, you perform the activity, afterwards, oh, again, I did that wrong. But then by contemplation, eventually you come to the point is you can see with the knowledge at the time when the opportunity is there. Then, of course, mind is powerful, you know, with that, and we may again not do it. But with the time, it'll come that, no, the benefits of pleasing Krishna by following this correctly is more than what we falsely thought I would get pleasure from it. So that's why, you understand the process? So the process is move forward, not that there has to be a prayaschitta. That's what the sixth canto is explaining. There is no prayaschitta in real spiritual life. That's for the mundaners.
Prayaschitta. I'm not so well.
Oh, prayaschitta means reformatory. Atonement, like that, or for most people, atonement is the you know, the more, how you say, noble side. Generally, for most, it's retribution. That's generally the definition that they are preferring. So there isn't any, because the point is something done in illusion still is illusion. So the only way to correct illusion is to do something real. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the thing.
Now, one may, there are certain actions which then have a ongoing effect. Like one may get married, accept a guru, or those are two that seem real firm, you know, things that you can do with the wrong motivation.
But then the point is you're in that situation. The Krishna consciousness means what situation you're in, you engage that in the Lord's service according to your position. Right? So, he may have gone into Grihastha life or accepted a guru on some, you know, mundane premise. But now having understood what the real premise is and what the actual real benefits are, now he should act according to that. It doesn't matter what the motive was. The question is what the motive is. Because was is already done. Is in the mode of goodness. It's in the present. So what are you going to do now? That's based on what is your consciousness now. That's why association is important, because by association, there's more chance you're going to behave properly now. Right? Does that make sense? So it completely redefines the social concept of atonement and retribution. Is that the atonement is to get the knowledge and the practice that will correct it. Not that you've done something wrong, something mundane, so something mundane is going to correct the mundane. I'm supposed to be doing spiritual, I did something mundane. So by having a mundane, atonement, that's going to make everything spiritual. You have to be not connecting the dots to come up with that. Right? But unfortunately, that's karma. The mentality of karma, that's the way it worked. It's fruit. I did the work, I got the result. So therefore, but it's not. Devotional service is, what is your consciousness? It's not what the mind or the body is doing. It's what's the consciousness when that's being done. Right? So does that make sense? So Krishna, of course, recommends, the Shastra recommend, that one should be doing recommended activities, pious activities in the Lord's service, not impious activities. But it's still very strictly pointed out that the pious and impious has nothing to do with the devotional service. It's just higher and lower qualities of mundane facilities that you're using actually in the real service, which is to please Krishna. So if the motive is to please Krishna, then that's proper. Now, with practice and association, contemplation, you'll get the activity to be in line with that understanding. Does that make sense?
From the particular, like Krishna will guide us how to come forward.
He will guide us if we want to be guided. That's the whole point. He says that someone wants to worship a demigod, Krishna himself has to give the faith. Demigod can't do that. Mundane sense gratification can't give you faith. Science can't give you. Krishna has to give it. So he'll give whatever you want. You want faith in pure devotional service, Krishna will give it. You want faith in something mundane, Krishna will give it. So that's the whole point. The bottom line is, what do you want, Krishna or not? That's all. And if you want Krishna, you'll see things move very dynamically forward. And if you don't, then, depending upon your conditioned ability, then you'll prosper or not in the material sphere. Like that. Is that okay? So we'll end here. The time. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainadai Govardhana.
Alright, so they will say out the name of Jesus. If you are going to know.